Well, hi there. This is a Sojourner coming to you from the Sojourners World Hub, United States of America. I want to welcome those of you who are here and those of you who are listening from around the world. We want to especially welcome those of you from Kashmir in northern India, and those of you from Kenya, East Africa, and those of you in the Philippines. We're happy to have you listening in, and we hope that this message brings you a blessing. This is kind of a special day for us at the Sojourners World Hub because this is the 9th anniversary of Sojourners Fellowship. So this will be a little different than some of our other times together. And we're going to be talking about, and the subject that we're going to be talking about is going to be talking about Sojourners Fellowships, but we'll be thinking in terms of where do you live? And our scripture will be found in Matthew chapter 6. Verses 25 through 34. And of course, I will be reading from the New International Version of the Bible so that this allows all English speakers around the world equal understanding of the words used. As I often say to people, if you're in the United States and you say you have a flat, people think that you have a tire that's gone bad. But if you're in England and you say you have a flat, people think that you have an apartment. So therefore, the New International Version of the Bible makes sure that all of us who speak English have the same understanding of the words. So, Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given you to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. That is Matthew 6, 25 through 34, and that is Jesus talking in that scripture. So, I'll get to the where do you live part in just a little bit. But today is the 9th anniversary of Sojourners Fellowships. The concept was given to me back in the summer of 1964. Think of that. The concept was given to me in the summer of 1964. It was 2001, however, when the Holy Spirit let me know now is the time to begin what so long ago I had been shown. Some 37 years earlier. You know, sometimes I have people come to me and they'll say, well, now the Lord has made it clear he wants me to do this or that. And it's just not happening. It's just not happening. And they're in such anguish over it because they want it, you know, to happen. The Lord's told me that this is what he wants me to do, and it's just not falling into place, and it's just not happening. And so I'll say to them, well, how long have you been waiting? How long have you been seeking the Lord on this? And they'll say, oh, 6 whole weeks. And I say, oh, well, let me tell you about 37 years of waiting. Oh, I've always been involved in some form of ministry, but I knew someday the release would come to begin Sojourners Fellowships. I even knew the name that was to be used. There was no real fretting over the years, however. I didn't spend any time fretting regarding the doing of it, just an awareness that it would happen. You see, I believe, and I believe this so very strongly, that waiting on the Lord is one of the purest forms of worship. We only have to look back into Scripture to see what happens when people do not wait on the Lord. You can take Abraham and Sarah as an example. They waited and things didn't happen in their timing, so they decided they were going to help God out. And now we have the conflict between those who are the descendants of Ishmael who were not in God's plan. So it's very important to wait for and on the Lord. Now, God over the years would let me see different aspects of what Sojourners Fellowships would be as I was being prepared for the doing of it. It was sort of amazing because I wouldn't even be thinking about it, and then he would say, look there. Now, this is what I want you to do, or I want you to do this, but I want you to do it differently. He communicated with me off and on for the whole 37 years. And as it drew closer, he communicated with me more often. He let me see more examples. He let me learn more things about exactly what he wanted me to do and how he wanted it done. Wow. You know, he showed me these different aspects, you know, and he prepared me for doing them. A strange thing happened in 2002 when I taught myself to build a website. I started to put up a doctrine page, and I received a check in my spirit. I inquired of the Lord about it and heard ever so clearly, doctrine divides my people and embitters them toward one another. I've always found it interesting. People felt a need to protect God rather than demonstrate the power of the Holy Spirit operating through the believer. They spend more time on, this is what I believe, and you have to believe the same way, and you have to think this way, and you have to do that way. Now, I'm not saying everybody should develop their own system here. I'm saying God has a system, but man has spent so much time trying to protect God and coming up with his own way that God's supposed to like, and then taking it to God and saying, see how good I've been for you? See what a good job I've done for you? Rather than saying, Lord, what do you want me to do for you? How do you want it done? You see, he's the head. We're not. You know, so I was really surprised when he said what he did to me through his spirit about not putting up a doctrine page. It was as though the Spirit said, let there be sojourners. In the same way that, at the creation he said, let there be light. Or let there be. And actually, it's very interesting because if you look into the original Hebrew, even in the creation story, it really says, light be. And that's when I realized that's what he wanted of us. He wanted us to be what he had created us to be. So, here is what came of my instruction of what each sojourner was to be. First of all, sojourners, realizing this world is not their final home, are migrant workers. We're migrant workers here. We were saved for a purpose, God's purpose. We're to be harvesters in the service of Almighty God. He left us here so that we could touch the people who were ready for harvest. You know, Jesus himself said to his disciples, look, the harvest is ready, but the laborers are few. Then the next thing he said to me was, sojourners know they are God's workmanship. Now think about that. There's more to this one, but let's stop there and think about that for a minute. We are God's workmanship, not our own. I've seen so many people work so hard through their whole life to try to be acceptable to God, not realizing that they were acceptable to God. Because when he sent his son Jesus, Jesus paid the price for the whole field. He paid for everybody on the planet. So we're to be his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Why were we created in Christ Jesus? To do good works. Not to vegetate, not to worry, but to do good works because we're his workmanship. Which God himself prepared in advance for all of us to do. Now that's really important. You can read that in Ephesians 2:10. God prepared in advance things for you and I to do. If you're a believer or not a believer, it doesn't change the fact that God has prepared things in advance for you to do. The question is not, are they prepared? The question is, are you willing to walk in what he's prepared for you? It's already there. He said so. Then the next thing that I was instructed on was sojourners are to strengthen the weak, heal the sick, and bind up the injured, and bring back the strays, and search for the lost. Now, you know, in Jeremiah 23:2, God had Jeremiah say to the shepherds of the people, woe to the shepherds, and he said, they didn't do this. And God sent me to Jeremiah 23, and he said, see this, where I cautioned the shepherds through Jeremiah? And I said, yes. And he said, now, you change that into the positive. You tell sojourners that they are to strengthen the weak, they are to heal the sick, they are to bind up the injured, they are to bring back the strays, and they are to search for the lost. That's our purpose. That's what we do. Then he said, sojourners are to treat others well. Now I'm going to stop there. There's more to this. I'm going to stop there for a second. You see, we were not put here to judge the sins of other people. We're not judges. We're harvesters. We're to go out and we're to bind up the people who are hurt and injured and in trouble, not condemn them. Some people will look at the sins of some others and they will go, oh, well, we couldn't get near them. We couldn't touch them. We couldn't have anything to do with them. But the Scripture clearly says to treat others well and act nobly toward them. You'll find this in Jeremiah 2. You'll find that there. To act nobly toward them and are merciful. We're to be merciful, sympathetic, tender, responsive, and compassionate, even as God the Father is compassionate. How could I, and you'll find that in Luke 6:36. How could I, having been forgiven of all I've been forgiven for, having received the grace of God plus the mercy of God, even since having received the grace, how could I do less to others? How could I do any less? Because before I accepted Christ, my life was just as wretched as anybody else's, in just as much trouble as anybody else's. We're to treat others well, to act nobly toward them. We're to be merciful, sympathetic, tender, responsive, and compassionate, even as God the Father is compassionate. Now, let me tell you something. There are some people that no matter how compassionate or how nicely you treat them because of something inside them, because they can't trust other people, because they feel as though they've been hurt by other people, and they may have been, but some people just almost intentionally want to be hurt so they can just be angry because they don't trust anybody. And sometimes you'll encounter those people, but that doesn't change what you're supposed to be. And at some point, they'll need to make a decision whether or not they're going to change in how they relate to God and they relate to God's people. But we must make sure that we treat them well, that we act nobly, that we're merciful, sympathetic, tender, responsive, and compassionate. Even the way God is, not just toward them, but toward us as well. The next thing I was instructed was, sojourners provide a place of pasture where God's called can graze on His Word. That's what we're doing right here. Those of you who are here and those of you who are listening around the world, this is a place of pasture where you can graze on His Word. Just graze on it. You know, most people don't do that. Many people, what they do is they only get involved with God on Sundays, if they're involved at all. But if they're involved with God, they get involved with God on Sunday, and they gorge themselves on Sunday, and then they starve the rest of the week. Ah, but you see, it's better to graze, because that gives you time to digest what you're eating, rather than take big gulps. How much nicer is a fine meal if you take the time to enjoy it? I have this friend, I dearly love him, but he's from a very big family, and this man devours food faster than any human being I have ever seen. And he actually says he likes some of it. I don't see how it stays in his mouth long enough for him to like it, but it does. You see, we need to graze on God's Word. Grazing, I think you can see, gives you a very different picture in your mind than just gulping it down. Grazing, you get to chew it all up, and you get the full nutrition from it. And believe me, the Word of God contains nutrition. The Word of God is the best health food you will ever, ever eat. My, my. The next thing I was told was, sojourners allow the habitation of God Himself as He tends them and as they seek Him and rest in His presence. Think about that. God inhabiting you and tends to you, takes care of you, in other words. Remember what I read in the scripture about the lilies of the field and all of this and how God took care of it all? You see, that's God tending to us as they seek Him. Notice, He tends to us as we seek Him. He gave us free will. We can ignore Him and we get less tending. Or we can graze and He tends to us. He sees to it that our pastures are healthy, safe pastures. So He tends to us as we seek Him and rest in His presence. Do you understand the scripture says that Jesus is our Sabbath? Now, Sabbath means rest. We are to rest in Jesus. Some people spend their whole lives just working so hard to please Jesus. When how you please Jesus is you rest in Him. You rest in the Word. You graze on His Word. You keep a continual relationship with Him. Things do then fall into place because you're going into what you were created for. The next thing I was told was that sojourners cover every corner of the pasture given them by God. Do you know you have a pasture, a whole big field that has been given to you by God? And that's the field in which you do the good works that He has planned for you in advance to do. Wow, just think of that. Spending your life working in the pasture that He has given, your field of operation within His kingdom, the kingdom of the blessing. The next thing He said was, sojourners submit to the lordship of Jesus Christ and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Now, don't just brush that off when you hear me say that, because you've heard me. If you've heard me before, then you'll know this, and if you haven't heard me before, you're about to hear it. So many people have bought the fire insurance. They've said, okay, I want Jesus as my Savior. But they've never let Him really become their Lord. Now, He is their Lord because the Scripture tells us that one day, believer and unbeliever, says every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But we have to submit to His Lordship. So many people are still running their own lives. And they can't figure out why their lives are a mess. Because they're not in His plan. They're not grazing in His pasture. He's not able to tend to them because they won't let him tend to them. Their life tends to be like a zigzagging graph. Sometimes things are good, and then things get into a pit, and that's when they turn to their Savior without ever letting him be their Lord and say, "You got to get me out of this." So he answers their prayer because the scripture says, "Draw near unto me, and he will draw near unto you." So you draw near unto him. He comes in. He fixes things up. You're back on top, and it's like, well, everything's going to be fine now. I don't need that anymore. I can go on my own. The scripture also says that pride goes before a fall, and that is definitely pride. He has a plan for us that is much easier than any plan, where the burden is lighter than anything we can ever conceive of. So we must submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, and then the indwelling of His Holy Spirit. It is developing, allowing the Holy Spirit to work through you that brings about miraculous things. Now, miracles are wonderful things. I believe that miracles are wonderful things. I love to see miracles, and I have seen miracles. But I will tell you this. You don't want to live a life on miracles. You want to live a life in the blessing. Because miracles tend to be what's necessary when you're on that zigzaggy graph going up and down. So you need a miracle to pull you out. But you see, if you're just dwelling in the blessing, you'll be the one that the miracles come through. You will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. You're the person who will give out the gospel, and a person will become a new person in Christ Jesus. Old things will pass away. They will be a new creature. You see, that's the miracles working through you. If God can get anything through you, He will get everything to you. That is so important. The next thing I was told was, sojourners dwell in the peace of God, and the peace of God dwells in them. The peace of God. Do you know what the word peace means when you trace it back to its original meanings? It means nothing missing, nothing broken. That's the way it was in the Garden of Eden. There was nothing missing, and there was nothing broken until the fall. They had every need that they had was met. Do you understand? When you come to Christ and you step back into the kingdom, it's as though you're in the garden. There is nothing missing, nothing broken in God's kingdom. And that's what the word peace means. The peace of God dwells in you. Then he said, sojourners, tell sojourners they yield good fruit and harvest unto the Lord their God. See, that's all a part of how it all works. We yield good fruit and harvest unto the Lord our God. We're always looking sometimes for Him to harvest for us and bring to us. When He says to us, no, you go out and you bring in the harvest, I'll take care of the rest. That's what He was talking about when He was talking to His disciples there in Matthew 6. It is the failure to bring in the harvest that brings in the failure of most people's lives. Read the Word. It says, you do this, then you can ask whatever you will in My name, and it will be given to you. Read that scripture. You'll find that that's what it says. Sojourners, all listen to this, are seeds both being planted and planting wherever they go. We, you and I, as believers, are seeds that God has planted wherever we are. That's why we're to grow wherever we are. If you're a believer, the people in your life probably are people who have been assigned to you to bring into the kingdom. If they're not in the kingdom, it's highly likely that God has you working where you're working, doing what you're doing, living where you're living, in order to bring in a harvest. You're where you're assigned. How many people come to me and they say, I need a new place to work. There's not a Christian where I work at all. And I say to them, great. That's why you're there. It's your job to change that. You're not there to earn a living. You're there to bring in a harvest. God will see to it you have a living. And if they get all upset with you and they run you out, they have a right to reject, but God will lift you right back up and put you in another place where you can do the same thing. But I will tell you, so many people think and expect, actually, to be run off or somehow put down because they're talking to people about Jesus. I can tell you that we took some people out just a few weeks ago to places that we were told nobody would ever accept Christ, and 145 people did. And those people wanted to hear the gospel. They wanted Jesus to come into their life. And there are millions of people around the world who want that, but no one's giving them the message. It's not our job to get them to pray the prayer. That's between the Father and them. The Scripture says nobody comes to the Son unless the Father draws them. But we're the ones who give the gospel message out. That's how we succeed. We don't succeed when the sale, quote-unquote, is closed. No, we just succeed when we tell the people the good news. God does the rest. Now, if they come to the Lord, then yes, we have an opportunity and we have an obligation then to bind up the injured, to bring back the strays, to treat others well and act nobly toward them, and to be merciful and sympathetic and tender and responsive and compassionate, even as God is and has been with them and with us. You see, the emphasis, as you can see, is on being what a person believes rather than man's philosophy of Christianity. The emphasis on being. Christianity is not a philosophy, but a being relationship. Just as certain as we are human beings, we are Christian beings in relationship with Jesus Christ Himself. Wow. Think of that. We are in relationship with God Himself, the Creator of all. As sojourners, we know this would, we know that this whole world is not our final home. We are migrant workers in God's kingdom to be His body on the earth. How many times have you heard, if you've been around the Western world and any times around any kind of Christian messages, you have heard that that Christians are the body of Christ, that He is the head. What is it? You know what that means? It means your hands are Christ's hands. You're His body. When you speak, you're to speak for Him. You're His ambassador. An ambassador has in them all of the ability to speak for those that they are representing. That's what ambassadors do. Any place an ambassador for a country is, his country is there because he's there or she is there. The same is true for us. So, where do you live your life? Remember I told you we'd get back to that. Where do you live your life? Most people, without realizing it, live their lives in their heads. Now, what do I mean? I'm talking about your mind, your soul realm. Your mind is your soul. Your spirit is your spirit, but your mind is your soul. Your mind is your mind, will, and emotions. That's what your soul is, the mind, the will, and the emotions. We live what we believe, even if we do not want to admit it. You may not want to admit that you live what you believe, but I will tell you, you do. Without realizing it, 70% of all our communication is within our self-talk. It is in our heads where we explain life and expectations to ourselves. How many times have you ever said to yourself, well, I knew that wasn't going to work out anyhow. So what did you really believe? How many times did you say, well, I knew that would work out. What did you really believe? What had you told yourself? Have you ever worked towards something really, really positive in your life? Doing something really, really well, but all the way back in the back of your mind, there was always this thing, this probably won't work. This is probably going to go sour too. I've had other things go sour. Things have looked good before, but they might not going to be, you know. You see, that's our expectation. We tend to get what we expect. Do you know why? Because we're made in the image of God, and we create from our mouth what is in the abundance of our heart. The Scripture says that. From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. How many times have you missed out on something and you said, I didn't want that anyhow? Well, you got exactly what you didn't want. So don't tell me you don't get what you think and say, because you do. That happens. You see, without realizing it, 70% of all our communication is within our self-talk. It is in our heads where we explain life. Don't you? Don't you explain life to yourself inside your head? I'll bet you do. Where we explain life and expectations to ourselves. Consequently, if our thinking is worldly without our minds being renewed, think about that. If our thinking is worldly without our minds being renewed, we will only seek worldly answers to our daily life. And in doing that, we're going to be missing God's kingdom of the blessing altogether. How many times, you know, I hear people all the time talk. I mean, back when I ran a mission for a long time, I had a mission. You know, during those 37 years, I just wasn't sitting in the corner waiting for God to say something to me. He had me doing other things. And I had this mission, and people would say, oh, there's just no way this can work out. And you know why? These were really bright people, but they were all using worldly thinking. And I would say to them, no, God will work this out. And time and time and time again, things worked out in a way that no one could ever have imagined it happening. Why did it happen? Because I always believed God would work it out. And so you create the very things that you think and say. If, however, we live with our minds renewed by God's Word, you see, and His Spirit, we will dwell in the house of the Lord, where surely goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our lives. Let me suggest this to you. Choose to live in the kingdom of the blessing. The kingdom of the blessing is exactly what Jesus was talking about in Matthew 6:25-34. I mean, I want you to read that over and over again. Now, I read it to you in the NIV, but I want you to read it in the King James. I want you to read it in the NIV. I want you to read it in the Amplified Version. I want you to get that so ingrained in you that you understand what sojourners are and what sojourners aren't and what God is expecting of us, because we are to be Christian beings in relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes I think that some of our black brothers have it right when they say, how be you? Well, how do we be? See, they have it right if they said that God said, light be, because that's exactly what He said, as a matter of fact. You see, we are to be what we were created to be. And who knows better what we were created to be than the Creator Himself? I was at an antique sale some time back, and they were holding up some little tool-like things, but nobody knew what they did. Why? Because nobody used those anymore, but they were created to be something. And in being it, what would they do? They would produce something that they were supposed to produce. That's what we are. If somebody held you up and said, what be this? What is this? What would you be? How would you be described? How would you describe yourself? I will tell you that God has a description for you, no matter who you are. And the way that you get to know what that is that you must accept Him. If you've never accepted Him, this would be a good time to do it. If you've never accepted Christ, then pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I come to You now boldly because Your Word says I can come boldly to the throne in Jesus' name. I come in Jesus' name and I ask for Jesus to come into my heart, and for Your Holy Spirit, His Holy Spirit, to dwell in me as well. As my Lord and my Savior, I want Jesus. Amen. Well, you're in now. You're in the kingdom. You're in the family. You have all the rights and privileges of anyone. Now, there might be a few things you'll need to pick up on and learn about, but you're in. And you need to spend the next couple years with somebody who can teach you about the kingdom. If you moved to another country, let me ask you a question. If you moved to another country that had a culture different than the one that you lived in, wouldn't you need somebody to help you learn the ropes, how to get around? Even if you take a new job and you go to a new employer, somebody has to teach you how to function in that environment, don't they? The same's true in God's kingdom. And so God's put people, He's put apostles, He's put prophets, He's put evangelists, He's put pastors, He's put teachers. That's called the fivefold ministry. He's put them into the body of Christ to do that very thing. Not to take you over, but to let you be overtaken by the blessings of the kingdom. The job of all of these people is to help you be all you were meant to be from the time before you even started to grow in your mother's womb. Now, if you're somebody who has said, well, I've done that, but you know, I've just not been where I needed to be with the Lord, just go to the Lord. In Jesus' name, you can go boldly and say, you know, I really kind of missed the mark. I really fallen short a little bit. I need your help. I'm back. I say Jesus is my Lord. I want the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in me. I want to be able to do the kinds of things that I've heard about in this message. In Jesus' name, I'm here. Amen. Now, if you said that, you're in good stead now. You see, with God, you don't have to go back to square one and start over again. You just come back to the square where you are. You just come back to Him. He'll take care of the time that's been lost. He'll take care of the years that have been stolen. He will take care of you. How do I know that? Because He said He would. God's not a man that He should lie. I said, I think the last week, I said, you know, when God said, let there be light, and there was light, He didn't say, well, wow, it worked. You see, He never doubted it would work because He knew if He said it, it would happen. Well, if He said these things about you and I, they'll happen, but we have to let it happen. You know, many times I've prayed when tornadoes were coming, and the tornadoes, I've gone out and I've said, peace be still in Jesus' name, and tornadoes have disappeared. But I've prayed for people, and things haven't happened. Do you know why? Because people think themselves out of a miracle. Tornadoes don't have a brain. They can't think themselves out of a miracle. I'll tell you, it might be good to spend a couple of years as a tornado in your mind and just let God work with you so that when someone says you're healed, you know you're healed. I long for the day that people leave the doctor's office and come to their pastor or whoever their spiritual leader is and say, come to somebody who's leading them in Christ and say, the doctor says I'm healed. Am I really? See, we do it the other way, don't we? That's the worldly way. The Word of God is the final authority. Well, I just wanted to give you this little background in Sojourners, and I hope that you've been blessed by this. I hope you've gotten some teaching from this, because this is what we are about. And if you are on the website there and you want to download the PDF so that you can see it, I definitely want you to do that and read my wife's article on Count Your Blessings, because it gives some more information on the background of how Sojourners was started and what happened there. So now, if you would like some help with growing in your spiritual walk, and we can be of any help to you, we'd love to do that. You can reach me by email at thesojourner@sojournershub.org. Now, I know you want to know, how do you spell Sojourner? It's S-O-J-O-U-R-N-E-R. So you send me an email, thesojourner@sojournershub.org, and I'll be happy to be in contact with you, and we can communicate back and forth. Or if you live in the United States and you would like to make a phone call, we have a toll-free 800 number, 800-391-6944. Now, if you'd like to go to our site on the Internet, you could type in sojournershub.org, or if you say, gee, I forgot how to spell Sojourners, then do this. In your search engine, just put 800-391-6944, and that's going to give you a link that you'll be able to get someplace on our site and learn more. There are at least 5 years' worth of teaching there that you can listen to. And you can catch up on some things and learn about some things right there on our site. Just go to the table of contents page, and you're gonna have quite a little feast there. If you're on Skype on the internet, you can reach me at the Sojourner3734. That's my Skype number on SojournersHub.org and on the internet. So these are the ways that you can reach us. Also, if you print out or pull up the PDF, you'll find that same information there on our weekly bulletin and message, because we do summarize our message there. So that concludes this broadcast, and I will conclude it as I always do with this blessing. The blessing of our Lord on you and all that is yours by blood, adoption, or assignment, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.